In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today we hear about the rich man and Lazarus. This parable has many things to teach us. There's an outward meaning to this parable, and there are several inward meanings, spiritual meanings, that we should take to heart. Now, the Lord was saying this parable against the Jews to tell them that they were losing their opportunity. The Lord was among them, and they were rejecting him. And so he would bring in the Gentiles. Lazarus is the Gentiles. The rich man is the Jews. Now the Jews had their time of richness, where God revealed himself only to them. But they squandered this opportunity, just as this rich man squandered the opportunity. And Lazarus, the beggar, the Gentiles, were brought in. And indeed, thank God that it happened, because we are of Lazarus, aren't we? Since most of us here have no ethnic Jewish blood, we are of the Gentiles. But the inner meaning of this parable is much more important and profound. And the Lord preached against avarice and against selfishness and against greed, against love of money many, many times. And I would have to say that this is probably one of his least followed commandments, to take our substance and use it for the benefit of others. Now, the rich man, it wasn't a sin that he was rich. It was a sin that he showed no compassion for those even on his doorstep. He certainly had money enough to spare to be able to feed himself and his family and take care of his old age and still take care of others. But instead, he was clothed in purple and fine linen. Purple was very expensive in those days. And he fed sumptuously. He didn't need to eat feasts every day. But he used the gifts that God gave him in a profligate way, and he squandered them. Now, Father Abraham says something to the rich man when he's in prison. By the way, we don't know the name of this rich man, do we? This is very important, because the name of those who are evil will be blotted out. The Lord doesn't know their name. They're nobodies in the world. They're important, and people kowtow to them, and they're considered to be, you know, the most important people at banquets and all such of things, all sorts of things. But in the next life, they're anonymous. They're nobodies. They have no name. No one in hell has a name. But this rich man, he was told by Father Abraham when he was in hell, "Son, now hast thou good thy good things, and Lazarus evil things. But now you are in torment, and he is receiving good things." This is a principle which we don't remember very well. I think if we remembered it better, we would be more free with our funds, be more free with our compassion. You can have your reward on the earth or in heaven. You can choose. Which one do you want? Most people choose the earth because it's something they can see and taste and feel. And that's not just people outside the church that choose the earth. People in the church that choose it as well. Constantly we're making decisions where we're just living in a fleshly and a carnal way, as if there is no eternity, as if there is no tomorrow. We will have our reward in this earth. Now, the Lord has given us amazing wealth. I mean, we have wealth more than the kings of ancient Egypt. We have more available to us than they did. And yet, we live a life that is somewhat carnal, not thinking of others. Lazarus, is before our gate as well. He's not just before the rich man's gate. He's before everyone's gate. The Lord wants you to use the gifts that you have for compassionate purposes, to help others. Now, we hold on to our money quite a bit, and we'll be judged for that. There is a principle that is active in the world, and that is that you'll have your good things now or later. If you grab them now by not paying attention to trying to become virtuous, love God,